Oh, how many of you are ready to hear the word? So what we do every week at New Beginnings, if you're new and not with us before, hold up your Bibles. This is everything that I'm going to teach you. It's not my opinion. It's not my thoughts. I'm not a motivational speaker. I'm a preacher of the Word of God. And so everything is going to come from that Bible in your hand. The Bible is the Word of God. You can say it with me. Say, the Bible is the Word of God. I will choose to believe it. Here's the hard part. Over my circumstances. I'll choose to trust it. Whether I see the results immediately or not. All right, now this is the part you got to get in your spirit. This is God speaking to me today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Listen, I started a message series now 4 weeks ago. And this is week number four. It's called That's Life. I'm preaching through the life of Joseph from the Old Testament, from the book of Genesis. You know, sometimes in life, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you live a holy life or you live a holy hell life, or whatever you live in between, I want you to know, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Can I get somebody to say amen to that? Sometimes does everything go exactly as you planned? Is your whole life just blessed at every turn? Of course not. But, you know, there are people that will tell you, Christian people that will tell you, man, if you come to know Jesus as your Savior, all those problems go away. I found the opposite. When I came to Jesus, the enemy was mad because I switched teams. And then he was trying to do everything in his power to get me back. That's why I told you it's important to remember that place. That place that you said yes to Jesus, because I could take him back to every time. Well, you ain't really acting like a Christian right now. Let me take you back. I can bring you to the spot. Here's the spot. Here's the day. Here's the time. And the day I said yes to Jesus, and now you could tell me anything you want. Yeah, I may be not acting like it today. The words coming out of my mouth may not sound like a Christian, but guess what? I am one. Because sometimes bad things happen to good people. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, in that way you'll be acting as true children of your Father in heaven, for he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. In other words, what he's saying is, hey, sometimes bad things happen to good people. Listen, your membership in the family of God does not exempt you from bad things happening to you. And if you've been taught anything other than that, you've been duped, right? You've been lied to, and it's wrong. Anybody in here ever go through some ups and downs? Yeah. You know why? Because we live in a fallen world, and we live amongst fallen people. And sometimes bad things happen to us. Now, the problem is if you came to Christ with this idea that you're going to have this perfect life, the problem with that perfection ideal is the moment things are not perfect, and inevitably that's going to happen. The moment things are not perfect, you begin to blame God. God, how could you or why would you allow this to happen to me? I'm a good Christian. I go to church every Sunday. I tithe, I pray, I give to the poor, I do all kinds of good things, and yet this bad stuff's happening. Why? Because you live in a fallen world and amongst fallen people. We've been talking about the life of Joseph. Joseph had a dream. A powerful dream, a dream of destiny, a dream of God doing great things in his life. And in that dream, he began to tell the people around him, told his brothers, told his dad. They didn't all champion the dream. I told you, I had a dream when I began to prepare to start New Beginnings. I had a dream about starting New Beginnings Church. Some championed the dream. Reggie and Jenny sitting right there, they championed the dream. And I appreciate, to this day, I appreciate them for anyway, you get the idea. First, they got behind me. Yes, they said yes to the dream. Then I had people tell me, no, that dream will never work because you don't have what it takes. But the problem was they were looking at me, not the God in me, right? Week number one of the series called That's Life, I told you that Joseph had a dream. That dream was a powerful dream. It was a great dream of a great future. And yet people around him didn't celebrate the dream. But I told you to dream anyway. Week number two, I told you that don't let the detours deter your dreams. We find that Joseph found a detour pretty quick. His brothers sold him into slavery. Detour, number one, right? Week number three, Pastor Carla did a phenomenal job last week talking about doing the right thing anyway. Now, That wasn't my idea for her to talk about the thought of being offended. She chose that, but I believe that was Holy Spirit led and God led her to do that, because how perfect is that for the time in which we live and the things going on in our world, is to choose to not be offended. Listen, when we choose to not be offended, we rise above the offense. Great word from Pastor Carla last week. Today, I want to talk to you about this, that the obstacles you face cannot stop God's destiny. I want you to understand, Joseph, now in a prison cell, now been falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of trying to get with her. I think you can say that in jail, in church. He was trying to get with her, and he is falsely accused, and he's put in prison. Detour. Obstacle. And in this obstacle, I want you to know that even in the obstacles, God can't stop. I mean, the obstacles can't stop God's destiny for your life. I'm going to share some things with you right now in this service that I've never shared from a pulpit until last service in 10 years. When I started New Beginnings Church, I had a dream, and I began to share the dream with more than just the Vegas and my friend. I shared the dream with my former pastor. And I went to him. I said, hey, I believe God's calling us to start a church, and I'd like to partner with you. I'd like you to partner. And let's do this together in a spirit of partnership. Rejected. Want nothing to do with that? Obstacle number one. I reached out to a local pastor here on the North Shore of a rather large church. Someone I had kind of admired from afar. He had done great things in his community. And I thought, man, what a better person for me to learn from. I didn't want anything from him. I didn't want money. I just wanted, can you just give me a little time so I can learn from you how you did it? No, rejected. Obstacle number two. I reached out to a pastor friend from Slidell that I had known many years before. And I asked him, I said, hey, look, you've done a great job leading your church. Would you consider mentoring me and just kind of coaching me, helping me as I kind of begin this process? Because I don't know what I'm doing. He said, no, I can't help you. Obstacle number three. Reach out to a pastor friend of mine from the South Shore. Rather large church, doing really well, been a church for many, many years. And I said, man, look, you know, we've known each other a long time. We've been in prayer meetings together. We've done lots of things together in ministry. I just want to learn from you. He said, let me pray about it. He did. About a week later, he called me and he said, I can't help you. Rejected again. Obstacle number four. Now, let me stop right there for a second. He did call me a few years later after we were already going, and he apologized to me. Pastor Dennis Watson from Celebration Church apologized, and he said, I'm sorry that I didn't get behind you. I should have, but I celebrate what you're doing. So I do appreciate Pastor Dennison for him doing that and reaching out to me, and he's been a friend ever since. While all that is going on, I'm reading a book called The Top 10 Mistakes of Church Planters. Now, I want you to know, this was not an encouraging book by any stretch. I had made all 10 mistakes and some more than once. I probably should have just said, you know what, I quit now. But God, right? You talk about obstacles. And then I was praying. I was like, okay, Lord, I keep running into nothing but obstacles. I'm getting nowhere. I can't do this by myself. Peggy doesn't know enough to help me. We're like two blind people. And we don't know where to go from here. How do we get going? How do we get started? And he said, I want you to reach out to the Louisiana Assemblies of God here. And he said, you have relationships with some of those people. I want you to reach out to them. So I think it was a Monday. I called their office in Alexandria, and I said, this is who I am, and this is why I'm calling. I'm looking for a partnership. I'm looking for people to help me, you know, train me, prepare me, whatever. He said, man, well, you need to speak to our church planting director, and he's not in the office. He lives in Shreveport. I'm not sure where he's at today, but let me give you his number. So he gives me the guy's number. His name is Al. I called Al, and Al goes, yeah, where are you at? I'm in Covington. But he goes, well, man, it is just coincidence that you called me today. I said, well, why is it a coincidence? He goes, I'm in New Orleans right now. He goes, can we have lunch today? I said, we can have lunch today and I'll pay. And I didn't have no money, but I said, this is worth, like, this is like breakthrough. We're meeting today. So he came to the North Shore. We had lunch. And then not many days later, just a couple of weeks later, on my birthday in 2011, our church was recognized by the Louisiana Assemblies of God as an Assembly of God church in Louisiana. And I actually, several years later, became the presbyter of, which is like the pastor of pastors for this entire North Shore region I was at for a couple of years. And so they've been very good to me. They're great people, and they're great to do life with. So on top of not having a spiritual covering, and now we do, besides all that, we didn't have any money. I want you to know, to start a church without money is a big deal. Most people start their churches with $60,000, $80,000, $100,000 in the bank so that they can rent places and pay salary, you know, the pastor's salary, and so you can live and eat and stuff like that. We had zero. Close your eyes. That's what we had. So I get a prophetic word in September 2010, when we started in June. In September 2010, a prophetic word, a lady says to me on the phone one day, hey, you're looking for a building. The building that you're looking for, you will have driven by it 1,000 times. So I'm looking around. I'm thinking about the places I drive and things. So Peggy begins to say, you need to call. That for lease sign has been in this building for many, 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 many months and many years. You need to call this place. And I am telling her every reason why I should not call that place. Honey, that place is on the main drag. We cannot afford that place, and on and on and on. She's like, will you just call the place? Listen, if your wife tells you to call the place, pick up the phone and call the place. So the real estate guy meets me there the next day, and he says, they're asking $18 a square foot. We were looking at 7,000 square feet. That's $10,500 a month. Close your eyes. That's how much money we have. And I'm like, he might as well have said it was $100,000 a month because we didn't have it. I said, well, are they open to an offer? He goes, oh, they're open. This place has been vacant for 5 years. I make them this ridiculous offer, $4,000 a month. We couldn't even afford that, but at least that was a closer bet than $10,000. They take the offer, and they say they're going to do the build-out for us at their expense. Now, they had no idea I had real expensive taste. So we prepare the plans, and we get the prices to do the build-out. The build-out was going to cost them $250,000. They had no idea. They were thinking of, you know, $50,000, $80,000, whatever, $250,000. They come to me, and they call a meeting one day. There were lawyers. Go to their office. It's the lawyers and me. They said, listen, we can't honor this deal. Our bank won't loan us the money. We don't have the money. We can't do the build out. We're gonna have to just get out of the contract. But I tell you what, because we're good guys, we're gonna give you $10,000 to walk away. Now, I want you to know that sounded really good at the moment. But there was something in my spirit that said, don't touch that money. I said, look, I'm gonna have to talk to my board, of which I didn't even have at the time. I'm going to have to talk to my board of directors and see how they want me to roll with this. I left their office. I called this lawyer friend of mine who was coming to our church at the time. Told him the whole story. He said, well, send me the contract. Send me the lease. So I sent it over to his office, and he read it. Several hours later, called me that same day, and he said, Eddie, there's a buyout clause in the lease, and they can't just get out of it. They have to buy you out. And he goes, and I want you to know that the buyout is far greater than $10,000, which is why they were trying to offer you $10,000 to get you to walk away. So I said, well, will you negotiate it for me? He goes, absolutely, I'll negotiate it free of charge. So he does. He calls me a couple of weeks later. He goes, look, how's $50,000? And I was like, for what? He goes, for you to walk away. I'm like, sold. So he says, well, the check's in my office. Come get it. So I go to his office, pick up the check. I got $50,000. Now, I want you to get this. Close your eyes again. That's what I had. Now, all of a sudden, this little church who had nothing has $50,000. I want you to know that's a lot of money in any economy. And I took that money, and we found our place on 4th Street that we leased. And we had that place on 4th Street for 5.5 years. That place, we were able to do the entire build out, buy all the equipment we needed, and still had money in the bank to take care of living life and so on for several years until the church really kind of got going. But I want you to know God is good, right? Obstacle after obstacle after obstacle, and yet we did not stop because God had given me a dream many years before. And listen, when God gives you a dream, you don't stop when the obstacles come. Joseph had a dream, and the obstacles kept coming. His brothers sold him into slavery. Potiphar's wife falsely accused him, and now he's in prison. He must have been thinking, God, really? God, are you serious? Like, God, I can't possibly get to my destiny in this prison cell. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 39, verse 19. When his master heard the story his wife told him, saying, "This is how your slave treated me," he burned with anger, Potiphar did, and Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. While Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. If you have your paper Bible or a copy of God's word, you might want to underline those words. That's very important to this story. The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. I want to teach you three simple truths about the obstacles you face and why they cannot stop God's destiny in your life. Now listen to me. The first one is very simple: because God is with you in them. Now, it sounds simple and it sounds easy, but it says Joseph's master took him, put him in prison in verse 20, where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, here's the next line: the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. In our times that we face obstacles, it is very difficult to believe the Lord is with you. Well, God, if you're really such a good God, if things are as I read them to be or I presume them to be, then I would not be going through these things. But we know that's not true because sometimes bad things happen to good people. But Joseph, we never hear Joseph defend himself. But I didn't do it, Potiphar. Listen, you know me, dude. We're tight. I love you. I serve you. I've done everything for you. I didn't even look at your wife like that. Although she's good looking, right? He never tries to defend himself. He just goes to jail. Just does his time. Just does what he's, and he sits there and God continues to raise him up because the Lord was with him. Listen, God is your defender, and you don't need to say a word because you know that God is with you. If I believe in this statement that God is with me, then when I find myself at some impasse, I must begin to ask God, while I'm here, what do I need to see or what do I need to learn? The writer of Hebrews, actually, let me back you up. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, God tells Moses these words. He said, listen to me. Remember this, Moses, as you continue to walk these people through the desert, I'll never leave you and never forsake you. He takes Joshua, when Joshua was getting ready to take the children of Israel into the promised land, he said, listen, Joshua, listen to me really good. I told Moses, I'm going to tell you the same thing. I'll never leave you and never forsake you. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the writer of Hebrews reiterates those same words. God says, I'll never leave you and never forsake you, Christian of the New Testament. Listen to what I'm telling you today. No matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, the Lord is with you, amen. Right? No matter how far off track you think you are, no matter how seemingly far away you think you are from destiny, from the dream, I want you to know that he's with you right where you are. You know how I know? Because he said so. And if he said it, it's true. If I hadn't had the assurance of knowing that God was with me after obstacle number one, I would have probably said, you know what, I'm done. Obstacle number two. Now, I'm surely done now. Obstacle number three. Now I really need to throw in the towel. Obstacle number four. Probably should throw in the towel now. Obstacle number five. And I want you to know, reading the book, 10 things I did wrong. Did them all. And some more than once. I want you to know, I made all those mistakes. And God said, because you can't make enough mistakes because I'm with you. The second thing that you need to know of why the obstacles can't stop God's destiny is because God can prosper you in the midst of your obstacle. Look what it says in verse 21 of Genesis chapter 39. The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. Listen, here Joseph is in prison. The warden makes him in charge of the whole place. Imagine you get falsely accused of something. You go to jail, and the jailer puts you in charge of the whole place. I thought that would have had a bigger impact, but I want you to know promotion can happen even in the midst of your greatest obstacle. While we were on vacation, by the way, thank you for letting me go on vacation. Had a great vacation. Phenomenal vacation. Relaxed. Didn't know I needed a vacation until I got on vacation. And I realized how much I needed a vacation. We wanted to go to this really nice restaurant one night. So we were down the street. We called and said, hey, do you have any tables? I know we don't have a reservation, but now we don't have any reservations till 9 o'clock. It's only like 6 o'clock. But we may have an open table. And I hear the manager say, what are they looking for? Are they looking for an open table? He goes, I think we have one. So let's go right now. So we walk on down, and it's about 6 p.m., and the place is starting to get crowded. And we walk in, and the hostess is like, you don't have a reservation. We don't have a table. You know, we don't have anything till 9. I just called. The manager says he could. And about this time, this gentleman walks over, and he goes, oh, yeah, I just talked to him on the phone. And he grabs us and takes us right from the hostess station to this private room that has empty tables in it, and he sits us down at this beautiful table in the corner. Favor. I was like, Lord, only you, right? And I want you to know, that didn't sound like a big deal, but if you had had that meal I had, it was a big deal. Promotion can happen in your greatest obstacle. Joseph walked heavily in the favor of God. In the middle of the most trying time of his life, what I love about favor is the favor in Joseph's life, the favor in our life, the favor in your life is not a one-time event. It's an ongoing, constant thing that happens in your life. And you know what I tell our staff all the time? Continually remind God how good he is, and he'll keep showing you how good he is. You know, God doesn't need a perfect economy to prosper you. He doesn't need anything. I want you to understand, listen to why he doesn't need anything. When he said, let there be, there was nothing. So if God can create the universe out of nothing, he can take you from where you are to wherever it is he wants to take you, and he doesn't need the economy to do it. He doesn't need your boss to be on your side. He doesn't need your bank account to be where. I'm telling you, God can do it because he makes stuff out of nothing. Trust God to prosper you in the middle of your greatest obstacle. You know, while this whole quarantine thing was going on, I in a network of churches, and every week we would be on a conference call, and I would get to see pastors and hear them all over the country, guys that I'm friends with, and some of them were struggling. I made a statement, and I didn't make the statement as a cocky statement. I meant this statement as a confident statement in my God. And I said, you know, we're just not participating. We're not going to participate. And so guess what? Down economy, all those things, it never affected us. Not that we're anything special, but I just believe God. So you either believe God or you don't. So if you don't, then you get to figure it out. But if you believe him, he'll figure it out. And the last thing is, you got to look for the winds, even in your darkest time. It says in verse 23 that God was with him and he gave him success in whatever he did. Listen, even in jail, Joseph found success. You know why he found success? Because Joseph never focused on the obstacles. Okay, I'm in jail. Now the jailer has raised me up to a place of prominence, a place of power, a place of authority. I'm just going to learn to live here. I'm going to learn to hang out here. I'm going to find the winds. Yeah, he didn't have his freedom. He was falsely accused. He was completely innocent. Yet while in prison, he found success wherever and whatever he did. So often people in there live their lives here as half-empty glass kind of people. How many half-empty glasses are in the house? How many half-full glasses are in the house? You know, they have a saying for people who think their glass is half empty. If you think your glass is half empty, get a smaller glass and quit whining. It's a choice, right? I see my glass is always half full. God, look what you're doing. I'm so thankful for the little that I have. Whatever it is, I thank you for it. I praise you for it. And guess what? He always makes sure. Carla began to quote Psalm 23. And he says after that, my cup runneth over. He said, he didn't give me a half a glass. He didn't give me a little bit. I sit in the presence of my enemies, and he says, my cup runs over. Yeah. There's a saying I heard years ago. It said, those who leave everything in God's hands will eventually see God's hands in everything. You got to quit discounting the works of God as coincidence and start giving him credit where credit is due. See, we always say, man, what a coincidence that that church planning director happened to be in New Orleans that day. What a coincidence. How about the guy that I called the day that God told me to sell my insurance agency years before? He said, I want you to sell your insurance agency. God put one guy on my mind. I called that guy that day, and the guy tells me, what a coincidence that you called me today. My partner and I were just talking today about buying another agency and growing our business, and boom, you called me. I want you to know there is no such thing as coincidences with God. With God, it's all directed. He says he orders the steps of righteous people. Now, when you begin to identify the good parts, even when things are going south, and quit focusing on the bad and only start seeing the good, you got to find the wins. And listen, seeing the good doesn't mean that you don't believe that there's bad. Yeah, there's bad. I knew all those things were happening in my life. I knew all those rejection, obstacle were happening in my life. But you know what I started doing? I started finding wins. So every day I would go to my office, Starbucks, and I'd run into somebody that I knew at Starbucks. And I would get an encouraging word. I'd get an encouraging phone call. I would get somebody, hey, we're going to come to your church this weekend. And it'd be one little thing, one little win after another, after another, after another. One phone call, one pat on the back, one word of encouragement kept me going from day to day. It's what kept my hope alive. And I quit focusing on the negative and started focusing on the positive. If I'd only focused on the negative, this wouldn't have happened. This wouldn't happen. Not even close. Sometimes in the midst of your obstacles, you just got to find a win. Find a win and celebrate that win. God, look what you did today. I'm so thankful, Lord, because now I got the hope. Anybody in here play golf? If you ever play golf, that is the most frustrating game in the world, right? But you know what keeps a hacker like me going back the next day? One good shot. Well, back on the 15th hole, I had one good shot. 150 other ones were terrible. I put balls in the water, in the rough. I couldn't find them, but I got that one. I hit that ball within 2 feet of the hole. Tomorrow we'll try it again, right? Got to find the wins. Yes. The obstacles you face cannot stop God's destiny because God is with you in them. He'll prosper you in the midst of your obstacle. And along the way, you got to look for the wins to keep you going from day after day. Would you stand with me? Do you know why the obstacles can't stop you? Here's really the bottom line is because the obstacles cannot stop the God that is in you. Amen. What does the Bible say? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I want you to know, he says, if God be for me, Nothing can stand against me. No one, nothing. I don't care how big that obstacle looks. I don't care how scary it might be. Listen, David, a young teenage boy, faced a 9-foot-tall giant, and the giant came with a sword. David came with a rock. I want you to know, it didn't look good. It never does. Nancy gave me a word during worship. She said, there's some people in here that need to know that there's more for you than are against you. Angels camped out around this place. They're fighting on your behalf. Now, if anybody in here is facing some obstacles, just raise your hand. Let me just pray for you. Yes, Lord, obstacles all over this place. We've asked the question, how? How are we going to get through this? We don't need to answer. We don't need to ever ask the question how ever again. All we need to do is say, who? Jesus. I need you to go before me. You said, as Pastor Kevin said a little while ago, I can speak to this mountain that's in front of me and tell it to be cast into the sea. And the Bible says it will be done. Here it is, according to your faith. Listen, our faith is strong. Our God is mighty. And we're not going to be stopped by anything that tries to stand in our way. We're going toward destiny. We're going toward God's plan, God's dream for our lives. And we're not going to be stopped, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. Don't forget to take your picture out at the booth.